Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Direction for Truth show by Sound Health Options with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Richard. My mailbox is absolutely filling up to the brim based on the show that we did with Gwen Olson last Sunday, and she has a new documentary out, Prescription Thugs, that we are going to try to show on one of our networks. Here we've ordered, I don't know if we're allowed to broadcast it unless it's a private thing, but I want to share with you what Gwen said on Sunday on our show. Now, this is something that we wrote up about her many moons ago, last year, as a matter of fact, when she was on our show. And, well, we should do our announcements first that we're simultaneously broadcasting. I'm so anxious to get into this. I forgot those things. We are simultaneously broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio with Richard over there in California, and I'm manning the WebEx here to video and show everything as we're going along. We're being sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. We're going to be doing some two-day free classes on dementia. We had planned to do it on thyroid, but we've gotten so much mail about what's going on with Hillary, and I guess there were some other things happening today with she not being able to control her eyes. So we'll be doing a two-day freebie class on dementia with Lewy body proteins and Alzheimer's and diabetes dementia. So hope you join us for that, and then we'll be doing the big five-day class next week, too. Any other real short, I want to get to your announcement only after I talk about Gwen's thing.
Okay. I will add in for people, depending upon where you're listening, if you're at WebEx or if you're at Blog Talk Radio, you can always find both by going to soundhealthoptions.com. Click on the radio tab, and then for today, click on Direction for Truth. And down there, halfway usually, or ish, is the link to get to the WebEx feed and or the link to get to Blog Talk Radio, or the phone number is 347-850-1407 to listen to Blog Talk. And I really do recommend signing up for Blog Talk Radio. You can sign up for free. They don't have, you know, they're not going to email you senseless. They don't do that. And any shows that you begin to find on Blog Talk Radio that you like, you can check a box so that you get notified when shows are going to happen. And it gives us, you know, kudos in the pile of, you know, look at this show, it's getting more attention. So it's a great thing to do. And Blog Talk has a lot of great, you know, people doing shows. And it's a great way to, you know, stay in contact with what's going on. So I'm a fan of, you know, joining up at Blog Talk. And as I say, it costs you nothing. It won't cost you anything unless you want to do your own radio show. That's it.
Okay. So we had Gwen Olson on Sunday, and she wrote the book, Confessions of a Pharmaceutical Drug Pusher, or something like that. And so we looked at her voice while she was on the show, and Gwen is one of the most honest people I have ever seen in my life. Her C-sharp is totally red and very, very tall, which means that she is right on the spot about justice, spontaneous justice, but she's also very grounded mentally. And when you look at her numbers, and we're looking at her nanograph, which you guys can download and check out yourself on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, under downloads. Look at her numbers. And this is not a WAV file, Richard. This is her real voice.
Wow.
Isn't that phenomenal?
That's amazing. You know how I love the numbers. For those of the people who don't know, Sherry's brought up the chart. That's the other side of Nano Voice, where you're not looking at color bars, you're looking at the numbers. And this is the most numbers I've ever seen in a chart in terms of covering the little boxes. That's amazing.
Well,
wow, is her foundation strong. Wow.
Incredibly strong. And she has 152, where normal is 44. And you can go to our site and look up Gwen Olson and read this whole expose we did on her. But she has 152 in D-sharp, and that's information brokering. And it's in a fantasy level or a writing level or a share with other people level. But I was just totally surprised at what was going on. And then we did a transcript from the Bought movie that she was in with Jeff Hayes. And I want to read two quotes because this ties into our entire show. Do you want to see if you can call Ralph while I'm reading this?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. So this is one of the things she said in the Bought movie. What, and I quote, what doctors should be aware of and what I would like psychiatrists in particular to be aware of, the pharmaceutical industry does not have any respect for you. Behind closed doors, they are talking about which drug whore, in quotes, to get to promote their products, and that is what they are calling doctors. They have no respect for their whores, no matter how much they pay them. And the second quote, children are the largest expansion market available to the pharmaceutical industry, bar none. Children have nowhere to go. They don't know how to put into words what they're feeling. They don't know how to communicate the side effects they are experiencing. They don't know how to relate to the drug. Their behavior escalates, and their maladaptive behavior escalate, and they get more drugs added to them, or they get the dosage increased, and they become delusional, and they hallucinate, and all kinds of things happen to them, and they don't know how to articulate it to their caretakers. Now, when Gwen was a registered drug rep, and she was so good at her job, they put her... Okay, thank you for it. I was reading a chat. Thank you, Kathy. They put her in charge of teaching other drug reps. And the first thing they tried to drill into her is get these children as early as you can. And this means vaccines, because once you start them on the drugs, then it causes all kinds of side effects, and we have a customer for life. That is so disgusting. These drug reps that make these vaccines and make these pills get the children on the drugs as soon as possible so that we can have a customer for life and fill our pockets. So my mail
also, I want to jump in. I want to add to that just for a second, in that not only in talking to Gwen about that, but also I thought it was interesting that I'm not sure if it was just the week before that we did the interview with Linda Loggeman, who is the psychiatrist who had quit what she was doing in that world and moved to D.C. And had just, the day we did the show with her, the day before, she had just been working in Washington State to get legislation to, A, try and stop this new improved electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, shock therapy. They're starting to use that on children. And they also now have in the old world, they used to be called ICD codes, a diagnostic code, so that they can justify giving children, like Adderall, I mean children, like infants, fussy baby syndrome, maybe a phrase, actually giving them things like Adderall or Ritalin. So that's what, I thought it was interesting that we had that show back-to-back, and Gwen and I talked about some of that as well. It's like, really? Okay, excuse me.
Oh, disgusting. Here is something else. Jerry Tenpenny sent me an article. I think she sent it to everybody because it was in her newsletter. Discontinued vaccine label lists autism as side effect. And here is the actual label. A discontinued vaccine label has been found to list autism among a list of many side effects. This label is taken directly from the FDA's website and sourced appropriately. Adverse side effects reported during post-approval use of Tripedia vaccine, including idiopathic thrombocytopenia, which is, you know, they bleed internally, purpura, SIDS, crib death, anaphylactic reaction, cellulitis, autism, convulsions, grand mal convulsions, pronounce that word.
I can't because I can't see it. Yeah.
It means breaking down of brain. Hypotonia, neuropathy, somnambulance, and apnea. They knew this. They knew this, and they give these kids the shots anyway. We have a guest coming on very shortly, and he's going to talk about they're now forcing children and adults and anybody to get these vaccines, and they don't care if your doctor says no or not. It's for the good of the herd. Here's another one from Sherry Tenpenny. Study shows fluoride causes autism, dyslexia, ADHD, and I'll put these in the chat. Here's another one that people sent to me. Vaccine injured stories, although they're saying vaccines don't cause injuries. They have paid out billions of dollars in reparations. Here's California one. California high school forces children to watch vaccine propaganda film and give correct answers or be penalized. This is from Mike Adams. Here is another search, recent newsletters. Now, what I was looking for here is an article that I knew was around. I found it in Mike Adams' stuff. Children herded like cattle into Maryland courthouse for first forced vaccination as armed police and attack dogs stand guard. Following the state of Maryland's threat against parents who refused to have their children vaccinated, children were herded into the Price George County Courthouse being guarded by armed personnel with attack dogs. And even though the parents said, we've turned this stuff into you, our children have been vaccinated, the school lost the paperwork, and these kids had to be, some of them had to be double vaccinated. Now, eventually I found this story on Florida. I don't think, oh, that's, well, now I can't find it, but I put in Maryland here, and it had the newsletter about, here it is. No, that's the CDC wants to expand. Let me put in Maryland courthouse. Had oh, that was so dumb to do that. It had such neat pictures of the police. There I have it. Okay. And this is about the recent measles epidemic, that the kids who got the shot got the measles, and then they went on to talk about the situation. This was in 2007. And there's the police dressed in riot gear, and they had guns and dogs. It's just absolutely incredible. So you'll not be able to fly. You'll not be able to go to a hospital. You'll not be able to go to your doctor. You'll not be able to do anything. And we said this is coming. One, they're going to raise the price of medications so you cannot possibly afford it. And then they're going to force you into these vaccines. And then they'll pay for your medications and whatever you need. We did get word from George, one of our regular listeners, that the EpiPen that we were railing about went down from the 800 down to, I think, 350. So they did do some of that, did pay attention. But the Bolin report, he is fighting for the people in California that they are saying everybody must have a vaccine, everybody in the school, you must have all of them. There is no exceptions, doesn't even matter what your doctor says. Now, I have a damaged grandchild. She bleeds internally when she gets vaccines. So we don't want her to have vaccines. So if she lived in California, she'd have to have it. Do you want me to try to call Ralph? Here, I will put up, I know you have a really important announcement too. All of these are about other countries are rejecting U.S. vaccines, Japan. Yes. Yes, I'm watching the chat. I'm going to go to my announcements. Richard is tied up in the background. Here are some of the announcements that have come in. Private citizens taking a stand to end corruption in California, state government over Senate Bill 277. He has filed a lawsuit. The government denied it. They refiled it again. And this is about the damaged children. Now, you can also go to the Senate, our U.S. Senate, and look for Ron Paul. And he talked about a California law that had to be given to children by law the day they were born. And it was some kind of hepatitis. And three kids had died of hepatitis. They gave the shots, and 30-some children died from the shots. It just doesn't make any sense at all. This has got to be going in someone's pocket, and that's what Gwen said. Gwen said, you get these children to get these shots when they're born, and from that moment on, you've got a drug user. Here's a couple of other articles that I think are incredible. France has lowest confidence in vaccines. Brazil study raises major doubts about Zika microcephaly link. Big Pharma dirty little secret. Do bleeding calves, narcolepsy, and infertility have the same mechanism for vaccine injury? And on and on and on. They are fighting this in Australia big time. How much does medical school teach about vaccines? As soon as we get our guest on, and Richard is moving with him, let's look at these other announcements. Kick to the curb for refusing a vaccine. I think this is the one that they refused to see at the hospital, or the doctor refused to give them services anymore because they didn't have the vaccine. Now, what is going on here is Obama and his crap has refused to pay hospitals any payments unless 99% of everybody who comes in the door and 100% of people who work there have been vaccinated. So, Richard,
That was one of the great stats that Gwen talked about, or we discussed, was that I'm certain, besides Obama thinking that's a good idea, the pharmaceutical industry has something like 1,445 lobbyists in Congress. That means there's an average of 3 pharmaceutical lobbyists per congressman pushing the agenda of the drug cartels. So I don't think it's Obama signing the line as much as it is for the pharmaceutical companies holding their hypodermics to the head. This is all my opinion, you know, holding their hypodermic guns to the heads of the congressmen saying, if you don't, we're going to take away your vacation cottage. I'm making it all up, but I mean, that's a lot of lobbyists per congressman just by one representative group called the pharmaceutical industry.
And they're trying to control us by increasing medication, by increasing health costs, so that we can't possibly afford what's going on. But they will say to us, I will bet you, and I think Ralph, our guest, who has been a vitamin lawyer for many years and a friend for 20-some years, he is fighting tooth and nail against these new things. But they're going to say to us, if you do this, if you take these shots, we'll get you your medicine. We'll get you this. And 4 or 5 years ago, we made this prediction, and I said, I'm going to start this Guardian network. We're going to give information to people so they don't have to fall under the thumb of this tyrannical government. Look at the name of our show tonight, Shooting Down Your Health. Should be Shooting Up Your Health.
Yikes. I hear Ralph chuckling.
Hey, hello, Sherry. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Ralph. I can hear you good. I can hear you well.
I'm so happy to be on your program today, and I have special guests with me. I've spent the day with my good friend, Reverend Dick Weber of Light Wing Center, and Dr. Rima Labo. Dr. Rima is back in the United States. I don't know if your listeners heard the story, but General Burt became quite ill, and we had to rush him back to the United States. He is not in a VA hospital because it's not safe, perhaps, and he's been in ICU for 17 days, and he has survived pneumonia and septic shock, and today, just a little while ago, we were there for the event, the intubation, the tube down into his lungs that was delivering oxygen has been removed, and the first thing he said was, when am I getting out of this place? So why is he surviving? Why did an 86-year-old individual with that sort of problem survive when all of the doctors except one, said, this man is not going to survive. Well, that one doctor was Dr. Rima, and she stayed with him, their husband, for 17 days, did not leave the hospital. We actually just brought her over to Whole Foods to pick up some things, and we're going to bring her back to the hospital so she'll have a chance to talk a bit when she gets back into the automobile. But she was there, as she said, like a mother dragon guarding its precious pearl, and every step along the way was a step towards death or towards life. And every step along the way was an assertion of informed consent or a refusal. And, of course, she made sure that on every single form she put all vaccines refused. She made sure that that they did not follow their normal procedures. And I'm just astounded to say that Bert is back, that his mental capacity is strong. He's writing notes to people. And, in fact, the very first note that he wrote yesterday was, stop CDC. He's very much aware of what's going on. And I heard you alluding to some of that earlier. The Center for Disease Control, some say the Centers for Disease Creation, is proposing a new regulation They say it's just a regulation to make it more transparent what the rules already are. And what is that regulation? It's the Infectious Disease Quarantine Regulation, and it explicitly states right in the operative paragraphs that the CDC can enter into agreements with individuals to provide for their treatment, including vaccination, but the consent of the individual is not a prerequisite for the CDC to exercise its authority. In other words, they're saying, we'll let you agree, but if you don't, we'll do it anyway. They are absolutely attempting to override the universal right to informed consent. Now, this right to informed consent has been around for well over a century. Actually, it's been around for thousands of years. But a century ago, in 1913, there's a famous case in New York State where a judge, who later on became a Supreme Court justice, Cardoza, held that it was medical malpractice and an assault and battery for which the doctor could be held in damages for a physician to engage in any medical intervention without the informed consent of the individual. Well, we all know that one of the major outcomes of World War II was that the Nazi doctors were held responsible for engaging in all sorts of horrific practices without informed consent. And, in fact, there is a document called the Nuremberg Code, which was written by the United States in order to try the Nazi doctors. The code itself was intended to be a restatement of what the law already is, and what the law already is that you cannot coerce anyone into giving informed consent. So when California, for example, with its SB 277, tells parents, you can either get your child educated, which, by the way, in California is a constitutional right, the right to a so-called free public education, or you cannot vaccinate. But if you want to be in those public schools or in private schools, everything except homeschooling, you must vaccinate. That sort of choice under our law is called an unconstitutional condition, and it is unlawful. Now, as recently as 2014, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case of McNeely versus Missouri, or vice versa, Missouri versus McNeely, said, my almost exact quote in my head, we have never retreated from our position, said our Supreme Court, never retreated from our position, that you have a privacy interest in preventing a government agent from piercing the skin. McNeely did not consent. And if you don't consent, you have to have a due process hearing and a specific order from a specific judge, personalized, it can't be general, in order to be forced to engage in a medical intervention. So the law is really clear, and it was very interesting over the past 2 weeks to watch how unrolling with General Burt, and how it was so important at every step of the way for Dr. Rima to be there and refuse informed consent. They wanted to cut his throat open, a tracheotomy, in order to allegedly allow him to breathe. Why? Well, because after 2 weeks with a tube into your lungs, that's their rule. There's no actual scientific reason. It actually has to do with finances. She simply kept on refusing consent. And, well, the tube is out, and he's breathing on his own. They were quite amazed that he was breathing on his own. What Dr. Rima did was she took the monitor that showed his breathing, and she turned it toward him so he could use it as a biofeedback device. Now, Bert is well-trained in neurobiofeedback and other biofeedback technologies, and he immediately started controlling his breathing properly just by being able to see the visual representation of what he was doing. The physicians, the breathologists, and all the other people there had never, ever thought of turning the monitor toward the patient. My, my. So what does the CDC want to do, as I said? They want to abolish that informed consent. We have an action item, one of those web form action items where you can send messages to your congresspeople and to the FDA and the CDC and tell them that you object to that. It's one of our tiny URLs, which I'm going to give to you. It's tiny, T-I-N-Y, of course, U-R-L, which is internet speak for Universal Resource Locator, URL, right? So it's tinyurl.com/informed consent protection. And it's a very important action item. We need literally millions of people over the next month. We only have a month left to tell the authorities that they absolutely refuse to join in doing what Dr. Riemann has done with General Byrd and simply say no. Dr. Riemann just walked in the car. I'm on with Sherry Edwards and her radio program. I was just telling them the good news about General Byrd and what you've been doing, as I said, like a mother dragon with your pearl. So if you want to say hello to Sherry and crowd.
Hello, Sherry and listeners.
Hello. We were interested in what kind of pushback you got from the doctors when you refused all vaccines and what they wanted to do in the hospital with. The show's about vaccines.
Well, then all of your listeners know that vaccines are not only worthless, but incredibly dangerous. So what happened on every single form that I was asked to sign, no matter what the topic of the form, I wrote, all vaccines refused. Now, he has a feeding tube inserted into his stomach, which was important for him. And the GI surgeon said, oh, no, don't write anything on the form. This is a legal document. Don't mess it up. And I said to him, it remains a legal document when I amend it and initial it and then sign it. I said, I will write on here what is important to me. And if you don't like it, you can take it to the legal department. And he just sort of looked at me and he said, you're going to mess it up. I said, check with the lawyer. So I wrote, all vaccines refused. And he said, I'm putting a feeding tube in. I'm not giving him vaccines. I said, you're right, you're not. Neither is anybody else, at peril of legal action. And I smiled.
So that's what you have to do in the hospital system. But the issue of informed consent, as I was explaining as Dr. Riemann was getting into the car, was also very important when they were dealing with his breathing and whether they were going to cut a hole in his throat or allow him the couple of days that he needed as they were finally putting all sorts of nutrients into his stomach. And the nutrient mix that Dr. Riemann made, literally opening up vials of capsules of vitamins and similar, has had an amazing effect.
He was in total renal shutdown from septic shock. And after I gave him the first dose of mixed nutrients, and these are things that you can buy off the shelf, after I gave him the first dose, his kidneys started working.
And then when then more powerful nutrients came along, and he's just extraordinary in his recovery. Well, so that's what happens about informed consent, whether it's vaccination or any other treatment.
Let me say something about that. The doctor, who is his attending physician, understands nutrition. He's a chelating physician. And he is supporting my right to make medical decisions for him. If you have a doctor who is not willing to do that, change doctors.
Exactly. And I have to, let me add to that, that Dr. Menashe, Edison, New Jersey, is wonderful. We've known him for a couple of decades. He is very open to nutritional approaches. All right, so we have this issue of vaccination. Sherry was reading earlier some items from the news. We know what's going on in the presidential election. We have, for example, Hillary Clinton, who says the sky is blue, the science is settled, vaccines work. Listen to your grandmother. I guess Hillary is our grandmother now. Of course, she's wrong. Anyone who believes that science is settled does not understand science.
when science is settled, it is religion, not science.
Exactly. And so we have that one. Then we have Dr. Jill Stein, who actually co-authored a book on autism back in 2002, and she has stated that they did not consider the potential role of toxins in vaccines as a cause for autism. And she's running for president of the United States on the green ticket. Then we have, of course, the Donald, who has publicly questioned the dangers of vaccines, but has never spoken on the issue of informed consent and whether he believes that people have the right to make those decisions or not is an open question. And finally, of course, Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, is also running for president, libertarian, and he has stated in an email to me, and I quote, "I do not support forced vaccination." He unfortunately makes some, we have vaccinated our children and people should consider vaccination, but he's made very clear that he would never mandate it. And it is the mandated vaccines, starting in California, which are the most dangerous threat to our health and our safety. Not only that evil law signed into law by the governor of California, who back in his first term as governor, was it in the 1970s or 80s, was known as Governor Moonbeam because he was considered a somehow new age governor. These days, he's known as Governor Jerry Brownshirt because he hasn't found a single assault on our liberties that he wasn't willing to put his signature on. And he put his signature on this horrendous bill, which says to Californians, if you want your kid educated, you got to have them vaccinated, whether you believe in vaccines or not, whether you are, your child is under special risk, and there are so many children who are under special risk because of the toxins and other assaults on their immune systems. And then they went further and they adopted another law, which they hardly talk about. I believe it was 792, and in that law it says anybody involved in health in child care must be vaccinated. Adults, and if the employer knowingly employs an unvaccinated person, the employer can go to jail. So the vaccine wars are heating up, and we're in a situation now where the CDC is taking the final step, which is literally to adopt a regulation that says that they can override individual consent. And more seriously, and I analyzed the regulation. I actually went through it. It was my program, and I counted the number of times that certain words were used. I thought this might be interesting. And about 330 times the word Ebola was used, and about 210 times the word measles was used. Now that is equating measles and Ebola. Measles, as Dr. Remo would say, from the vaccine, is a self-limiting disease with very little risk. Ebola is a different matter.
Furthermore, measles, encountering measles and having the disease in childhood is protective against a number of types of cancer and other serious degenerative diseases. It actually primes the immune system and prepares it for health in adult life.
Now, in the same regulation, in addition to the measles and the Ebola mentions, they also mentioned influenza about 25 times, but they did not mention the word Zika even once. Interesting. Finally, the word consent was mentioned, about 6 or 7, or maybe it was 12 times in the document. Most of the times it was not in an irrelevant way, but twice in two of the operative sections of the regulation, it's very clear that it says that the consent of the individual is not a prerequisite for the CDC exercising its authority to quarantine and to treat, which means they can force treatment and vaccination on individuals if they decide that any one of a number of named or unnamed diseases is to be covered. There is no criteria. So measles, influenza, which are very mild diseases, are equated with Ebola, which is a dangerous disease, and the disease of the moment, the disease of the moment, Zika, is not even mentioned. What is going on with the CDC? Why is it doing what it's doing? Well, most importantly, how can you oppose it? And how you oppose it is by going to one of our action items and making sure that your legislators, state and federal, the FDA and the CDC, know your views. You go to tinyurl.com/informed-consent-protection. We must protect the right to informed consent.
And then, having gone tinyurl.com/informed-consent-protection, there are two other things that you must do if you value your right to your own informed consent, your right to own your own body. You must tell everyone you can reach via social media, via email, via any other method that you communicate with people that this is a real issue, that this is a real threat, and they too need to go to tinyurl.com/informed-consent-protection. That's step number one. Step number two is you must secure your own legally valid refusal, your advance vaccine directive, telling anyone who attempts to give you a vaccine that you refuse in a way that is legally meaningful and asserts your right to informed consent. If it's not asserted correctly, it is deemed waived. If you assert it correctly, then they must honor it. And Ralph, will you tell people how to get it?
You can go to the same place. You'll find information on the Advanced Vaccine Directive. Now, what's really interesting here is that while the drug companies have carved out for themselves, with the assistance of a complacent Congress, a special exemption from the tort laws when it comes to vaccine injuries. Remember, folks, back in 1976, during the first swine flu vaccine panic, 400 people were killed by the vaccine, and the drug companies, fearing all the lawsuits, stopped it. They stopped it immediately.
Zero people were killed by the flu.
Right, exactly. And what did the drug companies say to Congress? They said, hey, if you want us to keep on making vaccines, you got to give us some relief here. And what did Congress do? It took away from us our right to petition the government for redress of grievances. It took away our First Amendment right to sue the drug companies for injuries. Instead, there's this thing called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which has given out, by the way, over $3 billion over the past 20 years, about a third of it in the past couple of years. Indeed, if you look at a graph of the increase in payments, it's clear that there is an extraordinary explosion of vaccine injuries going on in this country.
And most of those payments have been made to people because of serious injury or death from the flu vaccine, which, by the way, is strikingly, embarrassingly, astonishingly ineffective, according to the FDA itself.
Right. So we have the situation where the companies are exempt, but that doesn't mean that, for example, it's a medical doctor who gave you the shot, or a nurse who gave you the shot against your informed consent, is not liable for assault and battery. Now, that's a big distinction. The law that says that the drug pushers and the physicians who give the vaccines are not liable for injuries doesn't take away the informed consent right, and the law that tells us that it's an assault and battery to engage in any medical intervention without consent. So it's we see people beginning to react to that. There's been a call, for example, on one site for people to begin to write complaints to the medical boards when doctors push vaccines without giving people the informed part of the informed consent. So there's a lot still to be done to fight the vaccine madness. You know, the vaccine truth is coming out. For example, when Dr. Rima a year and a half ago, I guess almost 2 years ago, spoke in India at a major conference on medical education and exposed to the Indian population and to the doctors in India that that Bill Gates and his buddies did not stop polio. No, no. All they did was change its name. There were 50,000 cases of polio. Well, they call it non-flaccid, non-polio paralysis in India after they were polio-free. Dr. Rima, you want to talk about that a bit and talk about what's happening in December?
Absolutely. In the 13 months before the WHO and CDC declared India to be a, quote, polio-free country, in those 13 months, 57,300 children developed polio from the vaccine. The strain in the children was identical to the strain in the vaccine, but they couldn't admit that it was polio, so they changed the name from acute flaccid paralysis, that's polio, to, you ready? You wear, have your intellectual seatbelt on, and are you seated? To non-polio acute flaccid paralysis, and presto, change-o, shazam, boom, there was no more polio in India. But the children who developed this vaccine-delivered death and crippling in their lives, the children who developed this were twice as likely to die as children who developed community-based or regular polio. So it was especially lethal. Thank you, Bill Gates. Thank you, WHO. Your depopulation plan is proceeding very, very well.
All right.
I want to
Yeah. Actually, yes,
Ralph,
you can actually. Yeah.
Questions a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes, yes.
I want to change directions. From what Dr. Rima is saying, one, find a sympathetic doctor. Two, when you go to the hospital, anything you sign, say all vaccines refused. Three, don't you guys have a card that people can carry?
Yes, yes we do, Sherry. And as I said, if you go to that website, the tinyurl.com/informed-consent-protection, one of the things you can do on that page, I believe actually what happens is when you send your message to your representatives, the thank you page has the link to the information on the card. So,
and that card is very important. Every member of the family needs his or her own card. The baby,
here, whoa, whoa, whoa.
The baby needs it in their diaper bag. Your kids need it in their school bag. You need it in your wallet or purse, and it should be signed and dated with your name printed in special non-smear laminate. And you carry it with you at all times. And we have specific instructions on the site on exactly how to use it so that your informed consent is not being waived.
The normal procedure is if you show up in an emergency room, they're going to check your, and you're unconscious, they're going to check your wallet, your purse, to see if you have any cards in there that say, for example, I'm a diabetic, or I refuse all blood transfusions, or, of course, I refuse all vaccines. So this is a very important initiative. Look, if we do not assert the right, we will lose the right. It's just that simple. If you do not assert the right, and that's exactly what the Supreme Court case of McNeely said. He refused consent. You can't do it to him. So I think that that's a real important factor. We have to assert our right. We can do it with the card. We can do it by writing it on the forms. We can do it by sending messages. Dick, we don't need to. We're just going over to the front and dropping Rima off. All right. We're
okay, the next step then, Ralph, is people are asking questions on the site of how they can prevent their children from being vaccinated. Do you have anything on your site that would help them?
Yes. When you go to Dr. Rima Truth Report, D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreport.com, you will find very specific instructions on exactly how to assert that right for your children, for yourself, in your place of work, etc. And there are step-by-step instructions. What you must do is all laid out.
Go around and drop her off. Yeah. All right. Very good. Sherry, we're actually dropping Dr. Rima off at the hospital now, but I'm happy to stay on the line and try to answer more questions. I know Rima wants to see how Bert is doing. It's been very exciting to watch him recovering. And last message, Rima?
Yes. Do not accept vaccinations. Do not believe what the doctor says if they tell you that vaccinations are safe, necessary, or effective, because they are either misinformed at best or lying. Most pediatricians do not vaccinate their own families. There's a reason. Most nurses do not vaccinate their own families. There's a reason.
All right. Thank you, Dr.
Ralph, I want to ask you a question. I know you're an expert at this. We've talked about
Uh-oh.
This several times. Tell me what happened in this Maryland 2007 event and what the state government did.
The atrocity, as we've called it, the Prince George's County atrocity. Well, now Prince George's County is one of the the poorest counties in the country. It is a majority black county. A lot of money comes into the county for the public school system. Some federal aid is dependent on the percentage of vaccine coverage, and they were falling behind. And so the school board, help of a state's attorney, who, by the way, happened to be black himself and happens to not vaccinate his children because it's too dangerous, arranged for an event in which, about, 700 parents and 1,500 children were hauled before court. And the courthouse was surrounded by police, yellow lines, police dogs, all the paraphernalia of a fascist state. And the judge told the parents they had to get their children vaccinated and certainly did not explain that there was a statute in Maryland that allowed people to assert a religious objection. There were no doctors present to find out if any of the children were too sick to be vaccinated. And it was simply a matter of pressure and force. It was a direct violation of the Nuremberg Code, using coercion. This is a situation which no one even asked, did this child have a previous vaccine reaction? There was a situation in which hundreds of children were vaccinated again because the schools had lost the records. Is it indicated that they should be double vaccinated? This was a medical atrocity that was only possible because the authorities were willing to bend the law, and because the individuals were not well educated in their rights. They didn't understand what informed consent is about. And by the way, even if California has the legal authority to abolish an exemption that it created, it does not have legal authority to abolish informed consent. Neither the California legislature, nor the United States legislature, nor the CDC acting in its regulatory capacity, none of them can abolish international humanitarian law. And this is what we are calling out, the CDC and the authorities, the so-called public health authorities in the United States. We are calling them out for violating fundamental human rights, and we are accusing them of crimes against humanity. And we warn them, and in the statement that we filed with the CDC, which you can read on the website, and you can link from that URL I gave, we remind the agents of the CDC and other government agents that if they engage in medical interventions without informed consent. There is no statute of limitations for this crime against humanity. They will be held accountable. And just like the Nazi doctors never expected to be held accountable, just like the Soviet psychiatrists never expected to be held accountable, they would be nonetheless held accountable. And they had to be warned that they could not say we were just following orders. We were just obeying the regulation. We had the legal authority we gave ourselves to violate fundamental human rights. It's gotten that far. We are now at the stage.
I have more questions for you, Ralph.
Please, I'm happy to talk.
We have gotten a lot of people in our clinic that are infertile, and we've traced it back to Gardasil.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things that I think is despicable is that they were given, the Gardasil people were given millions of dollars to target low-income city dwellers and what they consider stupid, rural America. And we have on our site this chart, and looking at the frequencies, we have been able to back off or get rid of the issues. Well, I can't say we've been able to do that. I can say these people are now getting pregnant. But when you look at these HPV toxins that they've put in here and what the vaccines actually are, every one of them, how many? There's five of them. There's two that they call 11, but they're really different. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different HPV vaccines, and every one of them targets something about fertility.
Well, you know, Sherry, it was Bill Gates, and you can, folks, you can look this up on Google, and you can listen to him saying it, who said at a TED conference, and actually he's repeated it several times since, who said that properly used modern medicine, including vaccination, can reduce the world's population by 10 to 15%. Now, I thought the purpose of medicine and vaccination was to save lives, not to reduce population. But apparently, I was wrong. There's also another organization out there called the Global Health Security Initiative. This United Nations public-private partnership, of course, is a partnership of all the usual suspects. The Gates Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the WHO, the CDC, you know, the usual crowd. It's run by two protégés of the Secretary General who are social scientists who have published articles in peer-reviewed journals which assert that the most cost-effective way of preventing pandemics is to reduce the population. Well, it's true. If you have less people alive, there will be less people to die in a pandemic. But this is not medicine. No, no, this is culling the herd. This is what you do when you have a herd that has a disease. This is not what you do with human beings. And, of course, it's precisely what they want to do with human beings. They really have a depopulation agenda. We are being targeted, each one of us. And it is the truth. It is not conspiracy theory. It is conspiracy fact. And unless we assert our rights loudly, consistently, you know, if Dr. Remo were still here, she would tell you that only 1 out of every 7 or 8 American women can get pregnant without medical intervention. She'll tell you that when they say, oh, isn't it wonderful that teenage pregnancy has gone down dramatically, it's not because teens are being more careful with sex. Oh, no. It's because teenage girls are also terribly infertile. You know, and this is not does not bode well for our species. Because the truth of the matter is, if there is a population collapse on this planet, there will be a civilization collapse. The powers that be will not be able to manage the collapse. They will not be able to manage the collapse in any sort of way. They may believe they will. They may believe there will be no unintended consequences, but history shows us that they are wrong, tragically wrong, and we, of course, are the intended victims. More questions, Sherry?
Our article about Gardasil is on our site, and it contains charts that give you the nutritional antidotes for these
right.
injections. I don't even call them vaccines, these useless injections. Now, we've only had one question from our end. A lot of comments, but one question. What about vaccines for your pets?
You know, it's not good. It really isn't good. On the other hand, you know, cats and dogs and other little creatures have shorter lifespans, and so it may very well be that that they have less time to develop the reactions. We hear about terrible reactions by pets to vaccines all the time, and it's just like dealing with human beings. These are not good for living bodies. You know, it's just not good.
Okay, we're out of time, but I'm going to read something from Pet Vaccination Adverse Effects. Katie, a canine, developed immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, a disease where the body rejects its own blood, after her annual vaccinations. This syndrome has been shown to be associated with annual vaccinations. After 6 weeks of care, the total bill was over $3,000. Katie was lucky to survive. Less than 50% of dogs with immune-mediated hemolytic anemia survived. So I'm going to put this in so you guys can read about. And one of the things that has happened, because animals, especially dogs and cats, breed so much quicker than humans, this is where they originally found out some of the adverse effects of these vaccines and what they were causing. So look that up. Go to vitaminlawyer.com. You'll find Ralph there. Is that still your site? I should ask. Vitaminlawyer.com.
Well, you know, that's okay. That webpage will get you into my new consulting site, vitaminconsultancy.com. It'll also get you into the archives of what I've written over the past few decades. So I'm happy to people can get to me that way, that's for sure.
Okay, so you can also help people if they get into trouble with their business or if they're building a nutrient to keep them out of trouble.
Absolutely. I do consulting work in the industry, and I really specialize in helping companies that are startup companies and companies that are bringing out new products. The object is to make sure that they are done carefully enough that they don't become targets of a government system which is basically set up to protect the interests of the drug companies.
Thank you, Ralph.
And do you do any consulting?
I
want to ask Ralph a quick question. Ralph, do you do any work with the cannabis industry in terms of laws and assisting them?
I've been very interested in the cannabis industry. Dr. Rima and I have been working on a number of CBD products. You know, she recommends a CBD product to find on her website, drremastruthreports.com. And my personal experience, I've been using a hemp vape, a CBD vape, for a couple of years now. And if I don't use my vape on a daily basis, after a couple of days, I get all sorts of arthritic discomfort in my fingers and my ankles. When I'm using my vape, even a modest amount, the CBD seems to have a profound effect on just that one particular issue that I have. Other people
right.
have had extraordinary results. I mean, we all know about the seizure control and what's happening with people using cannabis oil in various ways. There's the big argument in the community is between those who say a full-spectrum cannabis oil, which means THC and CBD, THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, is the intoxicant in hemp. CBD, cannabidiol, is the non-intoxicant. And there's a big distinction here because our bodies make CBDs. Now, scientists did not know until the mid-1990s that there's an entire neurotransmitter system and an entire set of immune system sites that are sensitive to CBDs. And as we age, we produce less CBD. So, of course, it's beneficial to use CBD as a dietary supplement to support our immune system and our neurological balance. The argument is, however, that some THC is needed. And there may be some evidence that with seizure disorder, a bit of THC seems to help with the CBD. But as Dr. Reva says, THC is an intoxicant. It's a toxin. It occupies slots in your immune system and slots in your nervous system that are made for other substances like cannabidiol and L-DOPA and other things. And it's not natural to the body. So
right, and my question was, are you available as a legal consultant to the cannabis industry?
Absolutely, and in fact, about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I was asked by the Pennsylvania State Senator, who sponsored the medical marijuana law, to meet with other people in the industry and with them and the team of the Pennsylvania Health Department that's writing the regulations. And I had a number of comments and suggestions for them to consider in writing their regulations.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other thoughts, Sherry? I think we're a little over time. I didn't mean to push it quite so far.
You're out of time.
Yeah, we are out of time, but it's great information, Ralph.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Sherry.
You.
Later.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Sunday where we're talking to somebody.
The guy with those very incredible oils that I have been
using. Oh, that's
using.
Right. Very, very incredible essential oils, I think. Yes.
Yes.
Fabulous. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Isn't
we'll see you on
there,
Sunday.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, guys.
No, go
later.
Ahead. Bye-bye.